Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where our slogan is EDH, community, now and always. Before we begin, I'd like to give a huge shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And if you've ever been interested in owning your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat, now is the perfect time to go over to inkgaming.com. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. To find a playmat that works for you. I've got both the full color version as well as the monochrome version on there. Check out the links in my link tree, which I will be linking to in this episode, and you can buy your very own playmat. It looks amazing, and you will be amazing. You'll be helping support the channel, so definitely check that out over at inkedgaming.com. Today's episode of the podcast is going to be a little bit of a departure from the usual topics, but that doesn't mean it's going to be any less interesting for y'all, the listeners. So before we begin, I'd like to introduce today's episode guest, Jeffrey from Living Cards MTG. Welcome to the show.
Hello, MJ. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I am Living Cards, and I'm very happy to be here.
That's awesome. I've been trying to have you on here for a couple of months. We weren't quite able to get it to work, but I'm glad that we were able to get it to work out today. So really excited to have you on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been taking care of a couple of 1-1 human tokens a lot. So my schedule is kind of wild right now, but I'm so happy we could get together to discuss magic, art, and the multiverse.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But speaking of art there, Jeffrey, how about before we begin, you tell all the awesome listeners out there where they can find your links and all of the work that you're responsible for.
Absolutely. Well, it all starts at my free therapy called Twitter. I mean, that's basically what it is. I've got a little community going and so many awesome people chiming in and coming and going. And that's going to be on Twitter at Living Cards MTG. And so there you'll find my updates. You can contact me. We can go back and forth. This is generally where I'm going to be hanging out. And I'm going to give a quick shout out to my little Discord. That's just for dads. You know, it's a little place in the world for dads who maybe have an interest in Magic the Gathering, but definitely don't have to. But if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that you do. So if you're a dad, you haven't heard of this, go to Living Cards MTG on Twitter and just shoot me a message. Say, hey, I'm a dad. I would like to join the dad Discord, and we'll get you in there. We've got a small community where people can feel safe and just kind of share if they're having a tough time or if they're having a great time. We've got dad people. You know, you can feel safe to post pictures and kind of just a little community sense where I'm really excited to see how people have come together. We just had our second dad graduate from the dads to be to now full dad as they had their child. So cool things like that coming and going. So if you're a dad out there in the multiverse, I would love to hear from you.
For sure. Definitely check that out. I would recommend it because, again, it always helps to have that nice little support group. And here on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, I like to try to obviously talk about community. It's in my slogan, even though I typically seem to keep forgetting to mention that the first time we record the episode. But y'all heard it. It's important to me. It's important to Jeffrey. It's important for everyone to have a little bit of community out there. So whatever we can do to try to foster community, foster understanding, and just foster kindness between members of the community, that's really good stuff right there.
For sure. It's the gathering.
Definitely, definitely. But yeah, so back to the topic for today's episode here, Jeffrey. I really wanted to talk to you about a couple of your projects here in particular. And we're going to be talking about, I think, the first one, your namesake here, the Living Cards MTG. And for those who are not aware of this project, you've effectively taken, was it 60, 70, maybe more cards from Magic the Gathering's history?
I have no clue.
Yes. And you have turned the art, which is already amazing, obviously, because I've spent whole episodes just talking about the art, and you've actually turned them into living, breathing 3D models, effectively. Could you basically walk us through why you got started doing this project?
Yes, I would absolutely love to. We'll say at this point, several thousand years ago, in the year of our Lord, 2015, it feels like that, doesn't it? Hey, it's the quarantine podcast.
Oh, it totally does. Totally. Can't complain there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. My whole everything has happened since then. And, you know, when you stack it all up, I mean, it's only 7 years, but so much has changed. I was working in TV commercials, which I still do. But I, you know, I was kind of, things were slow and I was kind of messing around. I had just gotten back into Magic, quote unquote, not really playing a lot, but, a friend of mine said, hey, you should watch Coverage. And I was like, okay, I saw that, you know, in the early 2000s and it was, you know, questionable at best. And I said, no, it's, you know, it's cool. It's, they got a lot more going on. It's a lot more professional. Take a look. You'll figure out what's going on pretty quickly. And okay, so I'm kind of watching it, kind of interested. So that sparked, a little bit of an interest back into Magic the Gathering. And from there, I started looking around at what Magic was actually doing that might, you know, be tangential to what I was interested in. And I found the set trailers that they were doing at the time. You know, they were art, kind of montage sequences. If you'll remember, this is pre Battle for Zendikar. And they were all the 2D art, but it was the style that I do today. It was kind of taking the 2D and making it 3D with the parallax effect of pushing in and kind of making things look as though they've got perspective. And that just really kind of jumped out at me as like, this is so cool. And also, hey, maybe I could do this. And in the very beginning, I had absolutely no aspirations of making it a thing. I just was bored at work. Just the old, can I make something cool? And, so I made one. And I went to Reddit, cause that's where the only place that I knew that people posted that kind of content. I have since ceased posting on Reddit due to it being, what was the Star Wars quote? You will never find a more wretched
hive of scum and villainy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's good things going on Reddit. I'm sure there's nice people somewhere if you find the right rock to look under. But I just wasn't a huge fan of how things kind of went over there just in general. But it got me started. So, hey, we can't be dogging on it too much. So, yeah, posted a piece of the very first Living Cards MTG artwork. It was Anger of the Gods, which was a piece drawn by an artist which I no longer wish to associate and will not name on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very well received, you know, and it was at the time kind of that social media exposure that I, you know, had not been privy to. I didn't know what that was about. Suddenly I had a whole bunch of people going, this is great, this is terrible, and here's my ideas. You know, it was everything all at once. And, but the response was just huge, and it kind of got me a little bit addicted. So I started just going for it. And, you know, these pieces are taking me 6 to 10 to, you know, longer, not infinite hours, but, you know, spending a long time taking pieces, ripping them apart, because you're starting from a still image, and then you're tearing it apart in Photoshop and kind of rebuilding it and then being able to animate and do the whole perspective. I won't go crazy technical on you about how the process works, but, you know, it's got a lot to it. And when I, you know, it used to be so funny, I would, my friends and I would post on Friday, you know, I'd usually get one done a week or so, and I would post on Reddit on Friday, and then I would go to F&M and I would show up to F&M and everybody would go, okay, are you at the top of Reddit? Are you the number one? Are you the best on Reddit? I made it. Or, you know, like, oh, I'm competing with a preview card from whatever the nonsense that was, you know, out. What's going to be the hottest thing on Reddit? Is it going to be my animation or something else that's come out? So that was how it started. And from there, I just sort of started fostering relationships, you know, kind of behind the scenes of, I never wanted to be really a content creator, because you and your cohorts and everybody who does content creation, I have unbelievable respect for, because I kind of being beholden to an audience and stuff like that, it terrifies me, frankly. People expect something and they want, you know, you need to do something every whatever time period you've committed to. So I kind of took the route of, I'll be the guy behind the scenes, you know, I'll make stuff that people can use and kind of have an interest in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I started reaching out to just the names. I found Twitter. That was the best thing. I found Twitter, and Twitter is, in general, I mean, of course, we're a gaming community, so there's grouchies, but you know, we all, in general, have a community sense and a lot of positivity, and I wasn't getting the comments that I'm getting on Reddit, so immediately I was like, okay, here's my home, here's where I'm going to be. But yeah, I just started to build a little group, and, you know, I started to work with some cool names, and people started reaching out. Channel Fireball I worked with, doing the Grand Prix trailers, and that was my first experience really taking these pieces and kind of building like a story of the set, you know, because we would always do whatever set was going on at the time. So if it was, Ixalan, I would remember very clearly, I did several trailers of pirates and all kinds of cool things. And those would play during the GPs and GP coverage. Oh, rest in peace. May you someday rise again. But that was just a fun time of life, because I was, you know, I kind of had this job that wasn't challenging me very much, but then I had this great community that was saying, go, 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 you know, and everybody's saying, I want this animated. What if you did this? You know, everybody would just chime in and say, I've got an idea. Why don't you do this? And so that was just really exciting. And I did that for years, you know, MJ. I just sort of really didn't think about what's now the Living Cards Project and putting it all together for a long time. And actually, when I finally did kind of put the project together, I made a video where I start by saying, I should have done this a long time ago. Because all the time people would say, can I use your animation? And I don't know if I thought that I was going to be Mr. So-and-so, but I kind of hoped that Wizards might pick up the phone and just say, you know, where have you been all our life? We want you to come down here and be the resident animator. And, you know, we'll just set you up on the penthouse floor and that you could just do that for the rest of time.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing, honestly.
That's what I thought. So I would always say, like, you know, okay, you know, here's this you could use, or, you know, I was piecemealing it all out, but keeping it all, honestly, just on my hard drives, you know, and just kind of collecting everything that I did. And it was a lot over, yeah, as you said, over the years of the early, or of the late, I guess, 20 teens, as I kind of was doing this part time, for various groups. And some people would come in and, you know, kind of asked me to do stuff for their content specifically, and that was always cool. I got to work with the professor from Tulare and Community College, and, you know, just all the community sites that you've seen. Most of them I have done something for or know them in some capacity. Not name-dropping, it's just we're a tight-knit community. There's not, you know, that not a ton of people doing this, and you're part of it, and I'm part of it, and we're all part of it. And so, you know, I was always just the guy, hey, I'll make stuff for you. And not a lot of people were saying, I'll make stuff for you, because a lot of people were saying, I'm making my own thing. So I guess does that make sense? You know, kind of how I was like positioning myself as the support role rather than trying to step forward and go for it.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Is that for everyone out there listening, content creation is difficult. I mean, you know, for me personally, for what I do is getting on this microphone right here, it's sometimes very intimidating, even when it's an episode of a show that I've been done 100 times before. It can be sometimes intimidating, again, depending on maybe who you have on there or the topic, just, you know, or just the general jitters you just get from working with someone for the first time. It's no joke. And having people out there to help support your dream, support you as a creator, and just as a person is really, really appreciated. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do all this stuff without the community that I have fostered around myself and I've been a part of. And it sounds like you as well, Jeffrey, have really, you know, kind of found that community that really accepts you for what you do and really likes what you do. And honestly, that's what we need as creators, is just that community of people who just love what we do and appreciate the time and effort we're putting into this, because this is, you know, an opportunity cost. We could be doing a bunch of other things with our time, right? But
exactly,
we choose to do this because we enjoy magic and we just enjoy the end product.
Right. That's the key. I mean, you know, nobody's out here getting rich. I mean, even the professor who's the main, you know, maybe the biggest content creator, I mean, he's working harder than anybody. I mean, that's why he's where he's at. He's just absolutely going 90 miles an hour. And, you know, sometimes I'll message him. I'll be like, hey, are you okay? You know, like, slow down, buddy. Because I've known him since before he was doing it full time. And he's just an amazing guy to kind of go, you know, hey, just at the end of the day, you think of these people sometimes as like the man I'm trying to do a Wizard of Oz metaphor here, the Great Oz, but they're just the man behind the curtain. It's just one person pushing all the toggles and dials and trying to support their whole dream of being a magic content creator. And the Living Cards Project, to sum up, long story, very long, I one day, I don't have any memory of what clicked or what snapped or what my thought process was, but I just sort of said, wait a minute, what am I doing? I have all of this art and animation and everything that I've ever done, and it's just sitting here. And at that point, it was starting to turn. I was working for Channel Fireball, and you know, I had a steady gig. I was working with Magic, and I just said, okay, and the you know, the wizards is not going to pick up the phone. You know, I've talked to many of them and they have sort of said, yes, you exist. And yes, we're not mad about what you're doing, but you know, we're not really going to formally acknowledge all of it. But so I just sort of had to come to the realization that that's fine. And I just said, okay, I want to take everything that I do and everything that I will do from here to Eternia and just put it in a place where anybody who wants to give this a shot or who would benefit from it or whatever reason, a place to go and grab all the animation that I've done. And so I just said, if you need an intro, if you need, you know, a background, whatever you need, because, you know, the hardest thing is the eyeballs, in your case, the ears, you know, you're listening, but what I was able to add was the visual component. You want to make something that's visually compelling, and that's what I'm all about. I'm a visual motion designer in my day job that pays the bills. And so I just gathered, you know, I kind of looked around. I was like, okay, how can I even do this? And Google Drive was like, okay, just put it in here. It's not the prettiest thing. I wish you could click a button and like walk into a museum and it would be paintings on the wall of all of my animations, and maybe someday in the metaverse or something, you know, the VR world will make that a reality. But I put them all together and I made this video really quickly. I look like a complete goofus. I've since unpinned it, but I had it pinned for a couple of years. And I just said, look, I should have done this sooner. Anybody who's doing anything, it's yours. Here it is. So I did that and it blew up, and the response was and still is just overwhelming to have people saying, you know, like, wow, you're giving this away for free. And I'm saying, you know, I did it only for everybody else. You know, I did it for me. The only thing that I did for me was to be the first person to hit play and see it. But I'm the sort of person, and most artists are, who just, you want to make a piece to put it out into the world. I'm not the person who wants to just paint something and then just sit in a dark corner and have it be all mine and never show it to anybody. I want to go on to the next thing. And once I have put in my due diligence into whatever I'm working on, I want it to go and live and maybe be reinterpreted or become a part of something else. And as soon as I did that, people started grabbing it. And I just said, tag me if you do something with it. And, you know, but you don't have to. And so now the great joy is just stumbling across a creator, and they'll, you know, their intro will fire up and I'll go, oh, that's, you know, that's my animation behind there. And I just, that's the great thrill for me. And I'm never going to feel like I need to be credited or even acknowledged. I know that I did it, and I'm happy for it to live long past whenever I'm involved in all of this, and which I hope I will be forever, but you know, you never know how things are going. But I do feel like now, okay, in this small community of Magic the Gathering, I'm on my soapbox now. Imagine me stepping up. I feel I've done something that will outlast me and live in immemorial, and that'll be really cool as things go, and people will be able to use that. And it's also the place where I put all the new stuff that I'm able to do. So I love it.
Yeah, definitely sounds kind of like the rest in peace thing you mentioned a few minutes back. It's like the memorial there.
I was going for the word that means live in immortal.
In perpetuity, immortalized, yeah.
Exactly. Immortal is something like that. I made something, you know, somebody will tweet me and say, here's the word you were looking for. But yes, if I'm gone from the community tomorrow for some terrible tragedy, which I won't be, of course, calm down. I have a Paddington tomorrow. but you know, I've made something that will sit in the community and be used and be a resource. And that's all I ever wanted. Once I put it out there, I realized that's what I'd been doing it for all along, and it's definitely the best feeling I've had making all of those images and all that type of stuff. So
for sure. So yeah, while we're still talking about the Living Cards project, do you have a particular favorite card that you've done that you want to just quickly shout out?
Yeah, that's so, I'm trying to think. The coolest thing is getting to talk to some of the artists that actually made the art, because when I started, you know what I mean? It was such a like gray area, and I was like, "Are people gonna like hate this? You know, are gonna be like, what have you done to my art?" And I can honestly tell you, MJ, and this is amazes me still, because it's not like all of them are, you know, dingers straight out of the park. Some of them are just kind of cool, but not amazing. But I've never had an artist come to me and say, hey, you really screwed the pooch, and I hate this, and I wish you'd take it down, or I wish you'd never done it. Every artist who I've ever talked to has been like, amazing. You know, like, thank you for doing this. And that I was fragile in the beginning, and I just thought, if one artist comes to me and just says, I hate this, and I can actually guarantee you, if that had happened, we wouldn't be talking. I would have just said, okay, you know, I would have gone and not done a single other one, because that fear would have been there. But now that it's been years of doing this, I've got the confidence to just say, okay, if a new artist comes out or an artist that I haven't seen before, you know, and I love doing new artists because it's sort of cool into the community. And sometimes if I can, I like to animate their piece of work, and hey, I did, always been positive. And so I'm trying to have a specific or two, but yeah, the early days of when I was just getting started and getting feedback from artists, like I think the second card I ever did was by Howard Lyon, and now I'm forgetting the name of it, which is terrible, but it's a guy standing in like this tower, and like the planets are rotating around him. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of art, and I animated it, and Howard Lyon himself wrote on Reddit. He was like, verified artist. And he said, you know, something to the effect of, Jeffrey, this looks amazing. I'm so glad you did this, and I love it. And you know, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I'll look it up, and we'll. It's something like days. It's not days undoing, but it's time reversal. Here we are.
Time reversal.
Time reversal. Yeah, by Howard Lyon. That's probably my favorite one because that was one of the first times where I ever put something out and just had an artist really come in and sort of say, way to go, you know, you've absolutely killed it. But over the years, I've gotten to talk to a lot of artists, and every one of them has kind of said, hey, you know, we love it, cool, good job. I've gotten to work with a few of them on their Kickstarters. Titus Lunter is a cool guy, and he's taken a social media break, so I haven't talked to him for a while, but everybody needs their mental health, you know, check that in every now and again. But I worked on some Kickstarters with him, and it all started just from me picking one of his pieces and doing my thing, you know, animating it, and then him going, wow, you know, this is cool. I want to engage with this guy because he's done this thing to my art that I like, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, that is so cool that you just basically almost have all these artists on speed dial in a way. It's like, you're in that community. It's cool.
Yeah, it's a small community, but it's, you know, and they're all, you know, talking to each other. And so it's like, you never want to be the, you know, the guy who goofs up and, but you know, like with Paddington, which we'll get into the whole Paddington saga later. we have plenty of time. And Aaron Miller, who I've actually gotten to meet and hang out with a couple of times, he's a great magic artist on at least 100, several hundred cards probably. He messaged me and he's like, hey, when am I going to be a Paddington card? He goes, like, hey, I haven't made it until I'm a Paddington. You know, and that's just... that's me taking something that he's painted and put time into and, you know, and he's wanting me to mess with, you know, and do my thing with. So I said, you know, hey, okay, that's really cool when you can kind of get that relationship going with an artist. Paul Canavan is another one who I like to talk to when I can. He's a newer artist too. I guess he's not that new anymore, but his color work is staggering, and he's colorblind, and you know, how does that work? But I animated some of his cards, and it's just so cool when you can put something out there, and the community reaction is great, obviously, but the artist reaction is, that's the sweetest thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's nothing more awesome about getting the permission or the thumbs up, I guess, proverbial thumbs up, yeah, from the person who literally created the thing you're working with.
Exactly.
That
sure
is so awesome. But anyway, now that we've talked about that, and since you did mention Paddington, I think we basically have to move on over to that. So could you explain to the folks at home there exactly what the Paddington project is? How exactly did you get started with that?
Yeah, I can't. Okay, good night, everybody. I'm Living Cards now. Oh, it's so funny.
Don't do that to me. Don't do it.
No, I'm just kidding, MJ. I wouldn't do that to you one bit. This is the exclusive. No, I haven't talked to anybody about it yet. I was telling MJ before the show that this has happened so quickly, just in the last really 2-3 weeks. I had this idea of what I was doing, which is great, and it's what we were talking about before. I was going to be Living Cards, and every time that I put in the hours to make something beautiful and, you know, animate some piece of artwork coming out, that some people will like it and some more people will follow me on Twitter. And that's it. You know, that's, you know, I don't need a huge community. But that's just sort of how I was perceiving how I was going to be going with my Twitter engagement. Like I called it at the beginning of the show, it's just my therapy. If you happen to follow me, you're going to get a little bit of, you know, what you were looking for, which is either going to be the Paddington or the cards or whatever. You're going to get a lot of random thoughts and dad humor and nonsense. And so, and people have stuck around for that. So I'm happy, but I love memes. I just the concept of the meme. Do you love memes, MJ? Are you a meme person?
I mean, I'm not huge into memes, but it's not that I don't enjoy them.
If somebody sends you just a choice meme, you're going, nice.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I won't go overboard unless I, you know, really get it. But yes, if someone sends me a meme and I understand, it's like, ah, ha, ha. Yeah.
On Reddit, you say you'll push the air through your nostril.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably somewhere around there with the meme, yeah.
Exactly. When I worked for Channel Fireball, we have to go back to there, which was about a year ago to a couple of years, about a year and a half prior. I worked for them for 2.5 years or so. My job was, I was in charge of the visual identity of the brand, and I worked with the social media manager. And part of the thing we were always trying to do is, you know, get the engagement. You got to get that engagement. Got to get those likes. Got to get those retweets and clicks and stuff. And, of course, one way to do that these days is with ye old, you know, meme. So we were always trying to come up with clever ways to do that. And one thing that I used to do was take Team Channel Fireball, which is like Louis Scott Vargas and all those guys, and I would Photoshop them into things. So I would take Louis and put him into like a video game, and then that would be what we would use for like a tournament coming up. I did a whole series of like the team in, you know, fighting like Mortal Kombat, you know, like Huey as the boss of Mortal Kombat, something like that. And then that would be like what we would use for an arena tournament. But I love Photoshopping. It's like my obsession. I'm a motion guy, so, you know, like, of course you're saying, what are you doing over in Photoshop? But I love spending an exorbitant amount of time, like, making the perfect Photoshop to where it looks like something is kind of unreal. I just thought of something. I'm going to mention it because it's maybe, I've never thought about this, but it's maybe where all this came from. I Photoshopped, I don't know how old I could have been, but it must have been in high school or something. I Photoshopped my head onto Vin Diesel's body, and I sent it to my mom, who thought it was hilarious. But she showed my grandma, and she said, wow, Jeffrey's really been working out. You know, that's great. totally bought in that was somehow me. So ever since then, I've loved to kind of blur the lines of like, you know, is this real? Is this not real? And I've made an enormous amount of fake Magic cards, you know, to the point of where I've, you know, probably pushed the line a little bit. Some people got a little mad. I remember I made a White Lotus for one time for a new set. I just flipped Black Lotus and made it look like, and then I put the new set symbol. That was the last time I ever did that, by the way, because that pushes, that's too much. But people were retweeting it going, is this real? You know, like, what are they doing? Has Wizards lost their mind? And so I said, okay, that's a little, but back it up. But just memeing and kind of making content and funny things that people can relate to. I like to do that. So I don't have my finger on the pulse of all the memes, you know, whatever's going on. But there's another guy out there on Twitter who makes Paddington Photoshops. I was not the creator of this by any stretch. This individual, who I've never directly spoken to or anything, his shtick is, he says, I Photoshop, it's a specific line, just like I say, I Photoshop Paddington into a movie or TV show, so see, he's got quite a lot to work with, every day until I forget. And he's been doing it for more than a year, and he doesn't take weekends off. I mean, this guy is a machine. But, flip side, he has 200,000 plus people following him now. So, everything that he's posting is getting 20, 30,000 likes. I mean, he's, talk about a little community going on. I don't know what he's going to do with it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But he's got a lot of engagement. So, where this silly Paddington thing is, began, I just said, I'm going to meme the memer. You know what I mean, MJ? I'm going to meme the memer. So I thought, people have got to have seen this thing. So if I say, I'm going to Photoshop Paddington into a Magikarp every day until I don't. I was like, because you've always got to do a little twist on it. So until I forget becomes until I don't. And so I just said, I'm going to do this, and people will think it's funny because I'm riffing on this guy. They won't take it seriously. Like, I'm actually doing this. This is Jeffrey 3 weeks ago before this, any of this went off and went crazy. My brain thinking this through. So I spent about 30 seconds. I put Paddington in a bathtub in, the car, the 6'6" green common that it, Dreadmaw, the one that they
Colossal Dreadmaw.
Colossal Dreadmaw. Thank you. In every set. And you know what? It did okay. It did. I put it up. I think it got about 75 likes, which is, I'm thinking, okay, this is interesting. You know, I sound like I'm just Mr. Person who only does things for the likes, but I want to give people stuff that they're interested in if I'm going to put the effort in. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to actually sit down and do something that's not just off the cuff, be tweeting about what horror movie I just saw, I want to try to direct my efforts towards something people will be interested in. So 75, okay, so that's something people are interested in. So I was only going to do one. I just said, okay, I'll meme the memer and off we go, and that's fine. So it's day two. I'm at work, which I work from home. I'm at work. I'm 3 feet from where I work right now. And I was sort of thinking, okay, this is stupid. Don't, you know, and I pulled up, you know, I'm Google image searching Paddington. MJ, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have not seen the Paddington movies. I haven't seen any of them, either of them. There's two of them.
I mean,
but
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I haven't either, honestly, but
I know. Yeah. There's something pure about it. Is that what it is? What do you think? Why do people like Paddington? So is it just the wholesomeness of it?
I think that's part of it. Obviously, people like anthropomorphic. Wow, I'm bringing amazingly strange old like high school English words into the episodes. You're probably thinking, MJ, what the heck are you doing? But yeah, the fact that Paddington is a beloved children's character. I mean, I do remember some level of Paddington having that read to me when I was a kid. So it's like I recognize the character. I haven't seen the movies. I haven't seen the movies.
So do I.
But I feel, yeah, that it's just like it's something that you've kind of grown up with, kind of like is if, you know, like a Sesame Street for something. Or
it harkens back to a pure time of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Where things are simpler, the story is fairly simple. You have a very basic character who's memorable, who gets into a lot of trouble, but always finds a way out of it. And in theory, has a cheery disposition at all times, too.
Exactly. So that was the thing. And so I'm looking at what this other guy's doing, and I'm thinking, okay, so he's not, I mean, in terms of, okay, how do we say this? He's not putting Paddington into, like Pulp Fiction, having Paddington covered in blood and wearing a sword. He's just putting him in to a cute movie or TV show in engaging way, doing a good job of blending. The key is you got to blend Paddington into the scene perfectly. And this guy is clearly good at Photoshop because, you know, with the Paddington scenes that he's made, trying to do, you got to set it in there. Now, it's even tougher because he's working with actual live action, which Paddington, of course, is a 3D character, but it's meant to fit in a live action world, and I'm putting him into art. So you have to get even a little more creative there. But here it is, day two, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, do I do another one? Is anybody going to care? And one of my favorite cards of all time is Surgical Extraction. Not because it's an amazing card, which it is anyway, you know, if you're going to be a legacy modern player, great card. But that art on the Phyrexian version where the spine has been ripped out of this poor fellow's back. Like, what? How did this ever, you know, there's some brutal Magic cards. I mean, it's absolute. Sometimes, you know, not so much anymore. They kind of have, I don't know if they've toned it down or what, but some of the early ones are just absolutely horrifying. And I have messed with this card before. I animated, and I'll post it on Twitter again in case people haven't seen it, but I took Surgical Extraction and I put a gremlin from Kaladesh. And so I you push in on the card and then a gremlin pops out of this dude's back as though the gremlin itself had ripped the guy's spine out. But it pops out like a cartoon character, like, oh, I'm so cute, you know. And so, you know, it's just like, this is the most grotesque card and I like putting cute things into it. So the proverbial light bulb went off, and I thought, what if I just take this image, very simple, of Paddington just looking down, but it looks exactly like he's looking at this poor dude hunched over with his spine ripped out. And I literally, all I did was I photoshopped him in behind the person, so he fits in the scene. That's key. You've got to make him blend in. You can't do any of this hack job. You got to really put the time in. And we're talking time here. I think I did this in about 3 minutes. And then I color corrected Paddington. This is key, MJ. You got to make him just fit into the world. So I did that, and I thought, okay, this is cute. Paddington is doing this, and this is completely different from what this TV and show guy is doing, because this is me putting Paddington in the absolute most horrifying card maybe that Magic has to offer. There's other ones that are disturbing and terrifying, but one of them. And what will people think? You know, am I, is that going to be it for me? So I posted it, and what happened, MJ? It went bonkers. It went, so the previously the biggest post I've ever had, my animations, if I spend a lot of time on them and they're beautiful, talking about just, I use likes, you know, again, that sounds like I'm a Kardashian, but just so, it's the currency of Twitter. Thank you. You're saving me here. Just so people know and have a point of reference. 700-800 likes, and that's great. And I mean, I'm so proud, because that represents something that I had spent a lot of time on, and people are sharing it and really enjoying it, and that's great. I did a meme one time that got like 2,000 likes, and so that was like, what, you know? So I put this up, and I mean, it starts going. One thing that Twitter does, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but Twitter now has like live updates. If you watch something you post, it'll actually update in live time. So I posted it, and this is so stupid, but I'm telling you everything here. MJ, you're getting the whole scoop. My favorite
thing going to do,
I will, I love to post something and then go to lunch. I go upstairs. I work from home. So I close Twitter. I go upstairs, I'll have my uber spicy ramen or whatever the heck I'm eating, and then I wait, and then I will look, and I'll say, okay, does anybody care about what I posted? But a strange thing happened. Before I could even scroll up to close the browser window, likes, pop, 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 pop. You know, like in the movies when they're going to do a social media piece and it's supposed to take off, like it's stupid, you see the little like counter go spiraling
mm-hmm,
up.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, oh, okay. This is, you know, it's got 3 retweets and it's got 12 likes. So I closed it and I said, okay, that's wild. You know, okay. Well, you know, day 2, whatever. So I went off and I went to go away, and you know, I didn't pay any attention, and I thought, okay, we'll just see what happens. So I opened my phone about 15 minutes later, and it had 300 likes and about 50-60 retweets. And I said, whoa, that's a lot. And over the next 2-3 days, it got to over 8,000 likes. Oh, I maybe over 9,000, maybe even 10,000. Let's take a look. Because it just went absolutely bonkers. You know, they, let's see, I'm typing now.
I have the post up here, right in front of me on Twitter.
Where are we at? 9,067.
Yes.
What? Again, imagine the juxtaposition of me as a quote unquote content creator spending between 6 and 12 hours creating something that I'm absolutely, you know, enamored of, a piece of art that I have painstakingly torn apart and animated and put time into thinking, okay, how would this work and how would that work? And then posting it with all in putting, you know, you're putting this out that you're super proud of, 700, 800 likes compared to, I made this in under 3 minutes, you know, putting the bear, doing some color correction, posting 9,000 likes. What? It absolutely blew my mind.
Oh yeah, that is a huge number, and you got over 1,000 retweets too.
Yeah, there's not that. I mean, we're a decent sized community, but like nothing gets that much. You know, it's ridiculous. So, you know, I kind of caught my breath, and I'm an even keel guy for the most part. I mean, I wasn't like, okay, I made it. I'm quitting my job to be a Paddington. I know how these things go. I mean, I touched a nerve and people liked it. But the biggest thing, MJ, and here's the truth of it all. These are really, really rough times. I mean, like, we're living through some history. You started this podcast, I gathered, from being in quarantine. Mm-hmm. It was kind of born out of a need to talk and have some interaction while in this really rough time. And
that's correct.
I mean, that's what it is, man. I mean, you know, it was basically me saying, here's something we can all take a moment and go, that's hilarious. Like, did you really do that? You know, or just have some kind of any kind of reaction that, but it was positive, you know, and just escape for a moment and kind of think it's funny. And every comment, nearly every comment was like, okay, I'm here for this series. I love this series. You know, and people were going back to day one, and day one shot way up, and you know, but I thought, okay, I gotta go. Remember I was talking about kind of being a content creator and the fear of being beholden to putting out a podcast or a show, or you know, like playing something and then putting the gameplay footage out, and the terror of that. But this is the sweet spot of, I can wake up in the morning, and if I get inspired, I will do one in the morning, and if I don't, I'll wait and I'll do one at lunch. And you know, it takes me about 15 minutes. I don't let myself spend too much time on it, because I sort of think that if I do spend too much time on it, I'm going to get my own head, and that's going to be to the detriment of, you know, the actual the product. You know, not the product, that's a terrible word, but the end result will be lesser because I tried to overthink it. And I have, like, I had one recently that I did where I tried to do a little bit of a story where I had Paddington, eating one of the eggs of the golden goose, from Throne of Eldraine. And so I, you know, I took Paddington and I had the egg stolen, and I, you know, and it did fine, you know, in the scope of this new world that I live in, where I post something and it gets thousands of likes. But you know, the ones that do the best are the ones where I just sort of don't think about it. And I just, you know, card, art, love it, Paddington, in, go. You know what I mean? It's just like, don't think about it. Post something, and people will say, you know, this is my favorite one. So I have really forced myself. Like, today's was a Johnny. And I just literally, I cut off a Johnny's head, and I put Paddington on his head. People love it, you know, so that's where it's at. Let's make ones that are just like straightforward. You look at it, you get it, you laugh, and then you feel a little better in these concerning times that we're going through, if that's the most succinct way to put it. And that's where I'm at. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Outside of the surgical extraction one, which one would you consider of the series to be your favorite?
Oh, it's gotta be Oubliette.
Okay, yes.
It's gotta be Oubliette. Because Oubliette, so if you've seen Oubliette, and this is a pet card of the professor, because the card is renowned for having a staggering amount of text. And being completely incomprehensible. They teach college courses on how it actually works. I love the card just because it's so bleak. You know, it's an Oubliette, for those who aren't familiar, who are listening to the podcast, is a real thing. And it was literally, wasn't a dungeon. It was, they opened a grate in the floor and tossed you in, and you just were in there until you died. Like, that happened. So let's put that in perspective next time we have to, complain about staying in for a few days. And, you could just be tossed in a hole with a grate on top of it, and that's where you would expire. But as it related to Paddington, that was me going, okay, I put the bear in the vice, the black vice, and that's horrible. I crushed Paddington in black vice. I can't, do I kill Paddington? can I even do that? Will people give up? And so,
well, you kind of did with like a Juzan Jin and a Yargle, yeah, as well, too.
Exactly. He's being tossed, but you don't see him dead. Okay. We have the implication, right, of that Paddington's last moments are, uh-huh, being fed to a Yargle, or, being toyed with by a djinn, and we think he's not going to prescribe. Can I kill Paddington? Will that be the one that actually pushes it over and people say, I'm done?
Why, Jeffrey, why?
Yeah, exactly. A few people did say, Jeffrey, you've gone too far. What have you done? But overwhelmingly, people were just like, I love it. Because then the next day I come back and I posted, happy Paddington doing something else, So I think part of the reason people love it is because everybody's in on it. Like, if I come out and put poor Paddington, being crushed under the wheels of the dreadnought or something, so the next day Paddington's going to be a part of the Gatewatch. It's like, it's okay. So I'm appealing to everybody's, whatever people are feeling. If you want to sort of look at it and go, oh no, Paddington, and then cheer on, yay, Paddington, it can catch people in different light, and I think that's the best part about it. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, this one, I really it's so bad. First of all, the art available for Oubliette, because this is a traditional painting from, it's not a great painting. It's fine, but early magic art.
Sure.
If you look at
this,
light,
is also the original art of Oubliette too, yeah, not the reprint.
Not the reprint. Yeah, it's the one. Because the reprint now has like a zombie arm or something coming out of it, and it's like, that doesn't convey the sense of hopelessness of the, mm-hmm, original art, of where there's a human being who's just laid against the wall and just expired. And so what I did was I tweaked the coat in there, and then I hope my work isn't searching my internet history, because I do most of these on my work computer. I searched up bear skull, and so I found a compatible looking bear skull and put that on there, and then I put the hat on. Again, not an enormous amount of time invested, and I went back and forth and I just said, am I dead? I almost said it to my friends. There have been a few times where I come up with memes or something silly and I'm like, nope, this is going to the group text and not going to 4,000 people or whatever it was when I was doing, nope, just for the friends, because I don't want to be canceled. MJ, I really want to be positive. I try not to curse too much on my Twitter. I don't really get political. I get upset about things, and occasionally I will, I'll weigh in on things, but I absolutely hate MTG drama. I don't do any of that. If people are, if somebody's getting raked over the coals, for one thing, for me personally, and this is a bit of a tangent, I've you know, worked with several people who have become, you know, exiled and for good reason. And so it's left a terrible taste in my mouth, and I don't want to be involved in it, and I don't support any of that. And I want to be the guy who's like, yes, these people need to go away, but also I'm going to try and come with the positivity. I'm like the little guy running out of the kitchen, like, here's a slice of something happy. Once we're done with that, let's look at something, you know, and move on, and let's try to collectively take a breath and, you know, try to remember that we can be beautiful, because, man, we're going through some stuff, or, you know, things are really bad. So, yeah, I killed Paddington, but I killed him with love. You know, I was like, let's all say, wow, you really did it, Jeffrey. And then the next day, he's in New Capena, or whatever the hell the name of the thing is, and he's happy and fine and just Paddington it up, you know. And so that was really the going from one day to the next, and they both have about the same amount of engagement. I'm just saying, okay, I really can't, as long as I do a good job and I do a good Photoshop, that's what, you know, you need to put in the work. It needs to be convincing and interesting. Then people have said to me, Jeffrey, we will accept whatever you deem is needed to be done with Paddington on that particular day, if that makes sense.
Wow.
If Paddington has to be, you know, put on the rack, then all right, because we know maybe tomorrow Paddington will be frolicking with the Grove tenders or something, you know, so that's where it's at. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so that's the Paddington story.
Yeah, that is really cool, and it's really nice to see your thought process on here. You know, what exactly you were thinking when you went into this, and it's really cool to see the reaction of the community seeing this.
Oh, so fun, I love it. But yeah, people just going, "Oh, cool stuff." I don't know if you saw. I'm just sort of scrolling back through my Twitter, but cool stuff said, if you are an MTG player on Twitter for the past 18 days, and apparently in your sidebar, the relevant people to follow are me and Paddington, the official Paddington account. Oh, which is just hysterical, because, like, why in all the years, you know, since 1993 when Magic the Gathering came out as Richard Garfield intended, would Magic the Gathering be associated with Paddington Bear? And I did that, MJ. I did it.
Yeah, I was wondering there, Jeffrey, why Paddington is showing up on my suggested for you connections on Twitter.
So funny. And it's like the official Paddington account. I mean, I follow them. I'm keeping an eye on it.
Sure, sure.
Every once in a while they tweet, and it's so wholesome. It's like, Paddington made a marmalade sandwich today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with anything. And I check their likes, and occasionally they do like what the other guy's doing, you know, the guy with the huge following. There have been no likes on the Living Cards Paddington, you know, interpretation, but that's okay. You know, Paddington, I'm waiting. If you want to pick up the phone, we'll talk. You can make me some marmalade, and we'll figure this whole thing out. But
no. Yeah,
it's just funny.
Maybe someday that will be corrected. I mean, you know, this is, as you just said, this is a very niche community. So it's very possible that Paddington is still playing Pokemon or something, and just hasn't had the time.
Exactly.
To...
He's a young bear. Yeah, he could be doing the Yu-Gi-Oh! Like you said, the Pokemon. That's okay. Maybe someday he'll graduate. He'll pick up a Hypnotic Spectre and just wonder what this is, and, you know, then we'll get him.
Yep, definitely. Oh, so we'll be on the lookout for that one from the official Paddington account. But anyway, yeah, Jeffrey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It's been interesting talking
pleasure.
To you. Yeah, it's been so fun having you on here, and yeah, just getting to learn about the stories, the exclusive stories, mind you, about Paddington, as well as just getting to hear how you got into making those 3D cards. It's amazing. Your art is amazing. Everyone out there listening to this, you should definitely go check it out. I'm going to have to post any kind of link I can up in the episode description. So something will be there to show all this stuff off. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that one. And anyway, Jeffrey, one more time, could you tell the people out there where your content can be found?
Absolutely. And I am available to be directly contacted, found, followed, and hunted down with a marmalade sandwich on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG. And I am also active on this little dad server that I've got. So we mentioned it at the top of the show, but if you're a dad, if you're a dad-to-be, if you are a dad who's got stepkids, any kind of dad qualification, I want to make that very explicit. We just ask that you're a dad in any capacity. Go onto my Twitter and just send me a message. And we've got a lot of dads. Some people don't even post. We're just looking for dads who are looking for a little space, a little safe space rather, to come and kind of feel like, hey, there's other people going through the same thing I'm going through. It's a Discord. It's just a chat channel. There's no cam, no nothing. I would love to let you in. Just shoot me a message. Say, all you need to say is, hey, Jeffrey, I'm a dad. I heard about the Discord. Can I join? And I will shoot you a link. It's extremely casual. And so I would love to see you there if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah, that again, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's so cool that you've spent the time to get that community started there. It's a nice little support group and just a place for dads to be able to, you know, just connect with each other over this game,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely, yeah. We got a little group of people who get together and play Magic. And, you know, like I was mentioning, people are dads-to-be coming in with questions like, what do I need to buy? Well, you know, what do I need to not forget when I head off on this crazy adventure? So anything we can do to support the dads, that's just kind of my little pet project outside of the Living Cards project, which I will be continuing to animate your favorite Magic the Gathering artwork as we go along. But hope to see you on Twitter or on the Discord. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right, that's awesome. And if you're interested in checking out any of the back catalog of the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Breaker FM, Podchaser, and a few others. I never remember all the names, but if it's a major podcast outlet, odds are you can find me on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/mtgandquarantine. So a huge round of thank yous again to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Roe, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgandquarantine for more information. And again, right now, you can get your hands on the official MTG in Quarantine playmat over at Inked Gaming. It's inkedgaming.com. You can check out the links in the link tree that will be in the episode description, so definitely check that out. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.